Lecture.
Sheikh Asad Ja'fari.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi alladhi la yablughu middahatuhu alqa'ilun wa la yuhsi na'ma'uhu al'adun wa la yu'addi haqquhu almustahidun. الذي لا يدركه بعد الحمام ولا يناله غوص الفطن ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين صاحب العصر والزمان خليفة الرحمن إمام الإنس والجان ولعن الله وعداهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل فرجهم. Welcome to this bonus episode / speech of mine to all of you on the story of Nabi Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام. My intention when I first began this topic with all of you was to get to the point that I want to get to tonight. And that was the parting of the sea, and that was the ultimate demise of Fir'aun. I knew that I would not get to the entire story. There's still an abundant amount of information, a whole life now to be lived post-Fir'aun, but I at least wanted to get to some stage, monumental stage. So, previously, on Lessons on Nabi Musa, we got to the stage in the story now, if you remember, where the seven calamities had hit, the droughts, the hailstorms, the locusts, the beetles, the frogs, the blood, the plague. And after all that now, when Pharaoh realized that his city was in shambles, his control now was loosening, he decides to, now enough is enough, I'm going to kill Musa. Brings him to his palace, about to kill the man. Then Hizqil, who is referred to in the Quran as Mu'min Ali Fir'aun, a believer within the ranks of Fir'aun, talks him out of it. Musa goes back to guiding his people. Day by day, the number of people who are following Abu Musa is increasing now. And now Fir'aun, the way I left you guys last episode was that I had said that now the hukm and command of Fir'aun was to build these towers, to build these huge outlook buildings or posts, or whatever you want to call them. And look at the way that he now manipulates his people, okay, and himself. Remember, this was the same Fir'aun I described in the previous episode. That when the drought hit and the people had threatened now to go towards other gods, he told them to go on that side of the Nile. He went on this side, went behind somewhere where he couldn't be seen, rubbed his cheek on the sand, asked God for help. Fidel knows, and you could tell, there has been moments throughout his life now, I've been trying my best to present that, there were moments that he realized that there's somebody higher than him. You can't deny that. But his ego and sometimes the advice of Haman and others around him, and sometimes it points to the fact that when you have horrible people around you giving you horrible advice, it blocks all of your consciousness. That's why it's important, my young guys out there, you have the right friends around you who are talking good things in your ears, guys. Don't underestimate, yeah, he's a good guy, he just messes up. No, not like that, okay? Now he says to his people that I want to reach the God of Musa. So I want you to build me a tower, a structure so high it gets to the skies. What does that mean? Two things. Number one is that he knows that the Lord of Musa is not attainable. But at least he'll distract himself against Musa. Look, remember, his hands have been tied since the snake incident in the day of the festival. He can't kill Musa. He can't bring himself to kill Musa. Even Hizqiel, who told him don't kill him, he was somewhat relieved. Number two was the fact that this took all of Egypt to do, to build these massive structures. And so they would be busy in building the structures and not focus on the defeat after defeat after defeat of Pharaoh at the hands of Musa. So it's a win-win. Okay? So now the entire city, Pharaoh, his people, his palace, everyone, the slaves that are left behind, they're all busy in building these massive structures. This is now the time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives Nabi Musa the advice, take your people and leave Egypt. Go towards the east of Egypt. By the numbers we have in Bahar are 700,000 Israelites with Musa. They were told to go quietly in the middle of the night and pack light. Just leave. And so they began to prepare for their journey. Okay? One small thing remained before they could start their journey out of Egypt, and that was the body of Nabi Yaqub. In Bahar, it's reported, it's a very famous hadith. That and why the need for that, we don't know. But it is enough to know that the direction by which Musa was traveling with his followers was towards the east. And the entire idea was that Nabi Yaqub's body was to be reunited with his people in the east of Egypt. So he was asked now to dig up the body of Yaqub and take the body with him in his journey. Musa says, I have no idea where the body is buried. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then introduces him through his various means to this very old woman. Now, I mentioned this hadith for a reason. Please follow me. Humor me for a while. You've been so patient with me for so long. This old woman now comes forward. Musa says, do you know where the body of Yaqub is buried? Nabi Yaqub. Yes, I do. Okay, can you tell me, please? We can't leave Egypt without his body. She was old, she was blind, and she couldn't walk. She says, sure, but I want four things from you. And then I will give you the location of Nabi Yaqub's body. Okay? Nabi Musa knows that I can't move without this. What are the four things that you want? Go ahead. She says, number one, I want my youth back. I want my jawani back. Okay. Number two is I want my sight back. I want to be able to see. Number three, I want the ability to walk again. That's three. Number four, I want to be raised with you, Musa, on the day of judgment in Jannah. He says, what, you're asking me for Jannah? He goes, no, I don't want Jannah, she says. I don't want heaven. I want to be beside you, raised with you in heaven. Now, the way that the hadith says, Musa's looking at it like, that's a pretty heavy price you're asking. Like, that's a lot you're asking for right now. Your youth, your sight, your legs, and beside me in heaven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Musa, grant her those du'as. They're hers. He grants her those du'as. She takes him to the body of Yaqub. They grab the body of Yaqub and they make their way out of Egypt. 700,000 people. Now, why did I mention this hadith out of the blue? Because I want all of you and myself to realize the favors upon favors upon favors that Allah has bestowed the Bani Israel tribe. When we felt like from the outside or looking at the story, like they're not deserving of any of these rewards, Allah time and time again gives them ample reason to be thankful towards God. And they're not. This is nothing. You wait till we get to the sea. Watch what happens there. Watch what these guys do to Nabi Musa. So now they begin to make their way out of the city. News gets back to Pharaoh that these guys are leaving now. They're all leaving. Right? Big exodus is happening. He loses his mind. He gets every single worker off this structure project. Let's go. I need all of my army. I need all my right-hand men. I need anybody and everybody, all hands on deck. We're going to get them, and that's it. We're going to finish them off one by one. I've had enough. I'm going to destroy Musa and his people. And they set out in the morning time. They set out now behind Nabi Musa's movement. And so they trek along. They trek along in the middle of the night. Very, very long journey. And they finally get to the banks of the sea. And the verses I want to present to you a little bit later on they're only about 3 or 4 verses from Surah Shu'ara, is this moment. You would think that after everything that they had experienced with Nabi Musa, the people of the Bani Israel tribe would believe in him wholeheartedly. Now they reach the banks of this massive body of water. And they say that either way, it was 13 miles in length. Okay? Now that's not a lot in terms of cars or distance of on the road. But for a water, that's a pretty large body of water. Right. So from this side to the other side of the sea, 13 miles, they say, roughly 13 miles. So it's not like, you know, Fir'aun can come around that side and intercept them. No, he had to come on only through one way. So now the members of Musa is now the Ashab of Musa, as the Quran refers to them, and we'll get to that in a moment. They say, oh great. Behind us is Fir'aun's people. In front of us is this large body of water. We're doomed. We're stuck. Now what do we do? Musa says, no, we're not stuck. And when I get to the verses, I really want to come across to you the beautiful moment of certainty that Musa has with his Lord. This, again, chills I have when I hear about these verses. He says, there's no way that God will not find a way for me. Okay? God looks up to Allah, all right? Now what? He says, tell them to walk on the water. I will. He says, and again, this is in Bahar now. I have the sources whenever you guys want them. Tell them to invoke the name of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And we will make the water just like a dry road. They can walk on the water to the other side of the sea. Musa tells them that. They said, what? That's your plan? Your plan is for us to call this random prophet of yours that we've never met? And that all of a sudden this water becomes this dry road? They refused. One individual we have in Bahar, Joshua the son of Nun, okay? I forget the Arabic. He believed in Musa wholeheartedly. He actually does it. He actually now says, if you're telling me to take the name of this prophet who's about to come named Muhammad and his family, I'm going to do that. He does that. He begins to walk in front of the Bani Israel tribe. They're watching this man walk on water, just like Musa said. And Musa says, now go. Everybody go. Like, no, we're not going. Again, the verse of the Quran. Allah says to Musa, what? Take your staff and strike it in the sea. He walks a little bit to the sea, strikes the staff, it opens up, it parts. And the way that the Quran describes the way it parts, two massive like cliff edges, stories high. The water completely opens and in between now creates this pathway. 13 miles long now, mind you. It's a long pathway and it's open for them. Now Musa says, now let's go. And they still refuse. Why? What's the problem now? We might get wet. It's wet there. We might get our feet wet. We might get our feet wet, they're saying. Musa says, okay. Turns to Allah. Allah brings this massive wind to dry the wetness. Now it becomes like a dry road on water on each side. Now, he goes, now let's go. They still refuse. Now what's the problem? He says there's 12, they say there's 12 tribes represented here. We are the sons of 12 brothers. We're afraid that one tribe might reach the shore on that side before us and create this animosity between us. So what do you want? We want 12 different pathways in the middle of this sea so all of us move together in one fluid motion. Moses says, okay. Looks to Allah. Allah says, hit the sea 11 more times. He takes his staff, hits the sea 11 more times. 11 different pathways now are parted and created out of this sea. Each of them now on each other side is water. Pathway, water, pathway, water. Pathway, water, pathway, water. It's so high, you can't see either pathway. He says, now each of you, all your tribes, now go one by one. They still refuse. Now what's the problem? They said, well, we have a bond with the tribes. Right now, I can only see my tribes. I can't see the other tribe because this water is there. What if they don't make it? We're not enemies. He says, okay. Allah says to Musa now, strike your staff, east to west. He strikes his staff east to west. What ends up happening? There's bridges now. Can you imagine this massive, we always believe there's only one pathway. There wasn't. There were 12 different pathways created in the sea, and they were all connected such that, you could see each other as you're crossing, and now they finally begin to enter the sea. And the only reason why they enter the sea is because they hear the thundering sounds of Fir'aun's men coming. Musa says to Harun, Harun, you go and you lead them to the end. I'm going to go last. Musa waits till the very last person enters the sea and they begin to walk and they begin to cross. And when Musa reaches halfway through, Fir'aun now enters the shore of the sea. He comes to 12 different pathways that have been separated in the water. Each pathway is protected by this large, huge structure of water. It's like driving through a road where there's mountain on each side, as high as you, at the edge of the mountain, right? So you're driving between there and there's edges on each side. Imagine 12 of them, but such that you can see the other roads. If I can create that picture properly, everyone's looking at Fir'aun like what is this? And Fir'aun does his level best to keep things calm. He was a master at that. He says, "Oh, this is the power that I have done. This sea, I told you, right? The sea is in my hands. I'm the one that has done this." He can see now, Musa, the last one now, halfway down the sea. He says, let's go. Everyone, let's go. Nobody wishes to enter this water. This is unheard of, unprecedented. It's unknown. We're not going to do it. Nobody, not one person of Fir'aun's secret agents, his army, the slaves, anybody did. So Fir'aun says, you know what? I will do it. Grabs his horse and makes his way into the sea. And they follow. And they follow and they follow and they follow. Now, there's some reports about defectors, people who left Musa's army, knowing full well that, once they saw Fir'aun's rage and they found out that Fir'aun's going to come and kill them, they went back to Egypt and resubmitted to Fir'aun and said, look, we're not with Musa, we're with you. There were some people who were right now in the middle of the sea, and they realized that they want to turn back to Egypt, but apparently their horse wouldn't let them go back because now they made their choice, now they have to suffer the consequences. They're crossing through the sea. Musa, now the last one of the 700,000, reaches the shore on the other side. He looks behind and he ensures and he waits and he waits. It's a long journey. He waits until all of the Israelites, who are now looking at Fir'aun and his men, they can all see Fir'aun very clearly. At that moment, he takes the staff and he strikes it again on the sea. And just like, mountains that crumble during an earthquake, the water now crashes onto each path. And from each side now, can you imagine 12 different paths, a huge height of water crashing down. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He begins the crashing of the water from the back So Pharaoh now has no idea what's happening. He's marching. His eyes are fixed on Musa. I'm going to kill this guy. I'm going to kill this man. He hears the screaming and the agony and the pain from behind. He looks behind him. He sees water crashing. And it's getting closer and closer to him. He looks at them. He looks at Musa. And that's when he declares, I believe in the Lord of Musa and Harun. I submit to the one that Musa submits to. And a voice could be heard. Some say it was Musa. Some say it was Jibreel. That what? Now? You've had all this time now to submit to God. Now when death is right in front of you, you submit, it's too late. Your tawbah, your repentance is not accepted at that moment. Remember that moment. Remember that moment, that Musa's dua now. When Pharaoh was about to kill him and his skill stopped him, that dua of Musa, the Quran dua is, Allah, do not let them see their arrogant ways until they see the painful chastisement in front of their eyes. Pharaoh is watching this scene now, and nobody, violent waters come crashing down in the middle of a very deep, deep sea. No sort of means of surviving. The waters crashing, getting closer to him, and of course it engulfs Pharaoh. And the Israelites are watching all this. The water comes crashing down. Within minutes now, the books say, the water then became completely calm and serene. Like nothing happened. No sign of one person, one Egyptian that accompanied Pharaoh. No sign of Pharaoh. Musa turns back to his people. Says, you should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He freed you from the clutches of Pharaoh. Look at the mentality of a Muslim sometimes. The mentality of a victim of oppression. They wouldn't believe Musa that Pharaoh was dead. No. You think he's dead. People like Pharaoh don't die. He survived this. He's going to come back and haunt us. Allah then asks, make it clear to them that Pharaoh has now left this world. The body of Pharaoh. And by the way, he was draped and drenched from head to toe in gold. Heavy, heavy, heavy clothing, such that his body sank. Allah made his body float to the top, and they made it come to the shore of where the Israelites are. Musa says, come here and examine for yourself. This is the body of Pharaoh. They all examine the body of Pharaoh, and they sigh a sigh of relief. Pharaoh now has left this world, and they make their way towards their destination. Now what happens after that, I'll leave up to all of you. This is where I wanted to take all of you in this journey. I have some closing remarks for all of you, and then Iltimas Dua. This is the first time I have attempted this topic like this. Okay. And I mentioned to you in the very first day why I did it. And I am very thankful to all of you that you have gone and traveled with me on this journey through the Quran and Nabi Musa's story. And I think I learned more than anybody else. Hopefully you can tell that I was emotionally invested in this story, and I still am. The one thing I wanted to mention to all of you, and then I'm done, that is that this is not a fictitious story. This is not some screenplay of a Hollywood movie. It's not some new episode or new show on Netflix. These are the words of God. This is a story of God. And these are people who existed and were real. And the whole premise behind stories like these inside this book of Allah is for guidance. Hudal linnas is for guidance. And while we were able to kind of get wrapped up in the characters in the story, you know, from the mother of Musa to the sister of Musa, to Asiya, to Fir'aun, to Musa, to Hiskil, to Harun, to Shu'ib's daughters, everything. I want all of you and myself to realize that every individual that was part of this story, they all exist inside of you. There's a Musa inside of you, a Fir'aun inside of you, a Harun and an Asiya inside of you. There's a Hiskil inside of you. There's a Nabi Shu'ib and his daughters inside of you. And there is the mother of Musa inside all of you. There are those who believe, there are those who are skeptical, there are those who are thankful, there are those who are ungrateful. All of these individuals, whether by name or by characteristic, all of them exist inside of all of us. That's why we are the most complex creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've seen the end result of those, depending on which character you followed. You saw the result of Hizqiel. You saw the result of Fir'aun. You saw the end result of that young man with that yellow cow. And now it's a matter of us taking this story and knowing that whoever we allow to lead inside of us, whether we become that youth and get gifted the yellow cow, or we become Fir'aun and ultimately face our demise, or we become Musa and go through tragedy to get to triumph, whatever the case may be, know that all of this was meant to help us grow as people, to help us find our Musa. Ponder on this story. You know, who were we in the story of Musa? And who do we want to become? And how can we conquer it? Because these are all stories that will repeat themselves over and over again, right? And the ending of Fir'aun of that time will be the same ending of Fir'aun that we've seen before, right? Where are the Saddams and where are the Osama bin Ladens and where are the, all these Baghdadis, all these individuals, right? And where are the Musas of today, of yesterday? Where are the Musas of today? Etc., etc. So I humbly ask you to ponder. And as my last advice to the fathers and husbands and the leaders of the homes, whether you could be a grandfather, you could be a grandparent, or you could be a single mother, continue this story with Nabi Musa. Get them to the end. There's still a long way to go and many, many lessons in between. But inshallah, we ask Allah to accept our efforts. We ask Allah to help us understand this story, inshallah, and to be better people through this story. Thank you for allowing me inside of your homes. Remember me and my family in your du'as. Thank you for your patience. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
My ummah, he will say, Rasulullah on that day, even though we've strayed from him and his way. My brothers, my sisters, in Islam, let's struggle, work and pray. If we are to bring back the glory of His way. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again. Let's become whole again, proud again, 'cause I swear with firm belief in our hearts, we can bring back the glory of our past.